Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to 102.5 The Game on the 15th birthday of 102.5 The Game. And yes, once upon a time, there was a show named The Sports Revolution. With yours truly, Willie Donick, and my man Joe Dubin. So a little bit of history today as we celebrate another milestone. Boy, it's amazing how time flies. I was not an original cast member here on The Game, but didn't take long. That show started in November, and of course today was the first day that The Game was on the air. Our buddy Darren McFarland was at the helm. Our friend Brad Hopkins was in the mix as well. So we've come a long way in the 15 years. We've had a lot of fun celebrating that this week, and I heard Joe and Chase do a great job of sort of calling roll on all the people that have been a part of this thing for a long time. But we're glad to have you with us today. And I got my man, Adam Vingan, ready to host again. Derek Mason here alongside. Derek, what was your first year at The Game?
My first year was permanently, let's say that, as a full-time employee.
Right.
It was the run with the
2017.
Predators.
Yes. Yeah.
And, man, I got thrown in that boiling water, and it was just like I just had to sort of absorb it all. I mean, I think you and Darren did an excellent job at sort of, you know, bringing it to me in a way where I can understand it. especially, and it was so exciting because, you know, obviously it was the playoff run, and I'm just now jumping back into hockey. I grew up watching hockey somewhat with the Red Wings, but then come here and all of a sudden I'm thrown and immersed in it. I would rather have been thrown in the football season. That would have been great. Yeah. But needless, you guys did a wonderful job at, you know, just allowing me my space to sort of mess up. But then, you know, you guys wouldn't say much and kind of we'd talk through it. But you guys were gracious enough. And I needed it because it was Predators all day. Every day. We were not talking football. We were not talking basketball. It was Predators from when the show began to the show ended.
I remember that. So I joined you guys on the midday for that run. And the first big thing that happened was they swept the Blackhawks in the first round. So they were off and running at that point. So, boy, remember we had a producer that was from Chicago.
Yes.
What was her name? Carolyn, I think, was her name.
Was it Carolyn?
I think that was her name.
Oh,
really
was it?
Nice person. I mean, she was –
she stayed
Chicago
yeah.
through and through.
Yes.
She was a good sport about taking the heat because, man, did we get
– it was bad. It was bad for her.
Because
anyway.
That was the peak of the rivalry for sure. But, Adam, when was your first appearance? Do you remember before you joined the show? Because you've been with us now for over a year.
Almost two. Yes.
Over a year for drive time, almost two as the host of the show. But do you remember when you first started contributing – like as a host and like panel member beyond just coming on and reporting about the Predators?
It's a good question.
Because I do remember, here's one performance that I remember of yours. Okay.
And boy.
This was not a fun memory. No, it was nothing you did. But we were talking hockey, and we were talking about a story that had come across the wire as the Predators were about to go on the road, and they were fighting for a playoff spot. And we discussed on our show the fact that the NCAA tournament might be played without fans because in Europe they had started to have some games without fans in the anticipation of what turned out to be the pandemic, you know, that we all don't like thinking back to. But remember, we were talking about, can you imagine a game with no fans?
Did we ever experience that?
That was early 2020.
Yes.
So I know that you were on as far back as that and well before that because you joined the Tennessean covering the Predators leading up to that. For people that are new to town, that's where you started here in this city. But when did you start transitioning to radio?
It's a good question. As you said, I moved here in the spring of 2015, around the time the Predators were gearing up for their return to the playoffs. Peter Laviolette's first season, they played and lost to the Blackhawks in the first round of
the
Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
That season, and almost immediately I was a part of the station making regular appearances, and it was about four and a half years ago about when I was laid off by The Athletic and was thinking about what was going to be next, and fortunately for me, Chase McCabe was gracious enough to let me get my feet wet in radio, zero hosting experience. And I did a lot of fill-in work whenever anybody needed a vacation, I would hop on, and it was sort of a baptism by fire, similar to what Derek was talking about when he joined the station when the Predators went on their run to the Stanley Cup Final. And look, I'm still learning. I've learned a lot. It's helpful to be working with two professionals like Willie Donick and Derek Mason. But it's been so much fun being on the radio, talking sports 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. We've covered a lot of really interesting stories, big stories, fun stories. And
what would you think, if you think back, what's the first big sports story you remember being on the air for, whether it was hockey or something else? Because I can tell you, while you think about that, the first thing when I jumped on to the game in our first year, and Joe and I were doing the show, the first big thing, there were two that started happening. Actually, no. I'm trying to think of when this other thing happened. I'll bring that up in a second. But the first big thing was there was an undefeated Alabama-LSU matchup in the regular season, 1-2, and they ended up playing each other again in the national championship game, and Alabama beat them. But it was a extremely hyped up game. It was just two loaded rosters back in 2011.
Yeah.
And they were clearly the two best teams in college football. And then I can't remember when it was exactly. So that would have been November of 2011. And then the following year, I think, was the year that Peyton Manning made the comeback. Mm-hmm. And the Titans courted him and tried to bring him to Nashville to play for the Titans. And, of course, he ended up going to the Broncos, as we know. But I remember covering that. That was one of the first early big stories we had on the station.
I do need to make a slight correction, as I was just texted by our dear friend Robbie Stanley. For a brief time, Robbie and I hosted a Predator show called The Smash Brothers.
The wow. Smash Brothers.
Yes, Smashville. We both loved the game Super Smash Brothers. It was a match made in heaven. And I don't remember the time frame of that. Ryan Porth was still the program director, so it was several years ago. But yes, Robbie, I finally remember our days as the Smash Bros.
But
we were always Smash Bros.
That was a hockey-centric show.
Yes.
Before you branched out to the all-encompassing
host.
Yes.
I don't have a specific memory. I mean, we were on the air. I remember Derek and I think, Willie, you were out that day traveling with the Predators on the road. Derek and I did the show from Circa Sportsbook in Kentucky the day Brian Callahan got fired.
Yeah.
That completely threw our show out of whack. That was a very fun show. Well, not fun for Brian Callahan, but fun for us, fun to hear all of the reactions. So I don't have a specific major event that I remember over the past couple of years. As much of a cop-out answer as this is, I've just had a hell of a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun being on the show with the two of you, making the transition to Afternoon Drive. We had big shoes to fill. I think we've done a great job of doing so. I love the interaction with most of our listeners. Some of you, you know who you are.
You
know who you are. I just love you a little bit less than everybody else. I love everybody, but some a little bit less. But, I mean, I've been gracious for the opportunity from Chase to jump on. I will say this. I don't know if I've told this story on the air before. When Caroline Fenton left and the two of you were back to being a duo. I knew that you would need one more because of Willie's Predators commitments. I remember going into Chase's office and I said, I know there are going to be a ton of people knocking on your door for this opportunity. I want it. And you tell me what I need to do in order to get it. And, you know, the one thing I didn't have was lead host experience. For, you know, for example, when I would fill in with Caroline in the summers when Jared would be out, Caroline would lead the show. I would be the mic too. Mm-hmm. So I needed some reps. I remember doing some reps with Willie. Mm-hmm. And it's a learning process, but I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier to be a part of this team. I think everybody across the station, from Robbie and Joe in the morning, Jake, Pig Joe, Chase, the three of us, obviously, Parker Kelly, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Brandon Bigsby, everybody involved. I love our team. I'm so glad that we can all celebrate this today.
Well, one of the things that I think is the coolest thing about our station and our mark here in the city is 102.5 The Game, and our owner, Bud Walters, had the foresight to say, you know what, Nashville's growing as a city and as a sports city, and it was ready for another sports talk show, another sports station, right? This town, it was too big for one sports station, which is where I was for a long time. There's people go back that far. But I've now been here longer than I've been anywhere else. But I sort of took the leap of faith along with that because this town deserves to have all of the sports hit on because we have grown. We're big time. We got all these teams. We've got the soccer now. And so it's been a great land of opportunity for a lot of people. We've developed a lot of great talent, and we've given Nashville a lot of great choices when it comes to being able to hear what you want to hear, who you want to hear it from, the style that you like. And we've had all kinds of styles. But, Adam, you ripped off a bunch of names. I know Chase and Joe did at the end of last hour. We won't go through everybody. But it's been a really cool thing to watch, especially watching people like Chase and Ryan Porth go from, like, intern level, going all the way up through to managing and running the station. So it's been really awesome to watch.
I think the faces have changed, but the environment and the way we sort of approach one another hasn't. It's been fun across the board, whether I was doing mornings, and I did it, to now doing afternoons.
Getting know you, Derek, I can't believe you did mornings.
I did mornings. I know. Yes, I did mornings. Nick and Brayden and myself, we did mornings. So,
I know.
Then went to midday, and now I'm in afternoons. So I crossed the gamut. I've been in just about every slot there. But I do think that, and hopefully Jeremy is listening, or he will get a chance to listen, I do think Jeremy was playing a crude trick on me. He decided to put me a part of the team right in the middle of a hockey run. Like, let me see if this kid really wants to do it.
Throw him into the fire. See
Throw him in the fire. See what happens. But it worked out ways. It worked out well. So, and then, you know, like you said, seeing Chase, a young Chase, to what he is now. I mean, it's just been a wonderful process throughout the building to see, you know, individuals grow within the workplace.
And today on the, as we celebrate our 15th birthday here at 102.5 The Game, we've got a lot of gifts to give to all of you. Throughout our program, we have four giveaways. We'll do one in the 3 o'clock hour, one in the 4 o'clock hour, and two in the 5 o'clock hour. The grand prize, by the way, and you have to be here at T-Line.
Pay attention,
you
people.
Have to be here at T-Line. In West Nashville, 106 Duluth Avenue.
Right off of
West
White Bridge
Nashville.
Road.
Yes.
Super easy to hit. Right
you
off
have
the highway.
You have to come out here. You have to register for the grand prize. A pair of Predators season tickets in section, fittingly, 102.
Season tickets. People.
Season tickets. 42, because now there are 84 NHL games. 42 Predators home games. You can win a pair of Predators season tickets in section 102. By coming out to T-Line 106 Duluth Avenue in West Nashville. Right when you walk in the door, you'll see the entry form. You'll see the fishbowl. You do not have to be present to win, but you have to be present to register. So if you want
to drop your name in the hat. That's
yes,
all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
Come by and say hi.
Absolutely. 615-737-1025. 1025. You know what? Let's give away something right now.
Why not?
Let's do it. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Vanderbilt men's basketball game at Memorial Gym.
All right.
Your choice, subject to availability, of course. But your choice, the Commodores are going to be a very exciting team this season, led by Tyler Tanner. So the first caller, or sorry, caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to a Vanderbilt men's basketball game at Memorial Gym. Your choice. Again, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Yeah, I think he has an awesome coordinator that's been in the league for, I mean, he's been in the league for a while now. I don't know how long, but he's been in the league, and he's been an awesome offensive coordinator and things like that. And he's been in different places, was a different quarterback, so he has a good track record with quarterbacks and things like that, and some quarterbacks that he's been with. And so just believing and trusting in him and what he's coaching you and teaching you, and then I think just being able to go out there and execute. And I think we have some similarities in our game and things like that, of being able to make, you know, the big plays and things like that, and just being able to keep consistently making the small plays. And I'm still working on it myself, so I can't speak on it too much and things like that. But I would say those are the few things.
That was Caleb Williams yesterday at the Titans joint practice with the Chicago Bears, talking about the advice he would give Cam Ward. And Williams mentioned Brian Daboll. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Congratulations to Tim on winning the Vanderbilt men's basketball tickets. Tim, if you're still listening, I assume you are bound by law to take Connor New to the Kentucky game in February.
No, you're not. He can't come. He's a Kentucky fan. Don't take a Kentucky fan. Find a Vanderbilt fan.
Connor, I'm standing Connor's up for you here, man.
No, Connor's on his own on that one.
Oh, wow. It's okay. I'm with Willie. I have gotten tickets through Vanderbilt before to go see Kentucky, and they won't let me wear blue. So I'm okay. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
So that's the least we can do. I mean, jeez. Do they even know? Like, come on. You can't let the enemy into our house. It's our house. Come on. Anchor down. By the way, excited about the partnership continuing,
yes,
between 102.5 The Game and the Vanderbilt Commodores. You can hear them here on our stations throughout the season. So anchor down.
Yes. By the way, our next ticket giveaway in the 4 o'clock hour will be a pair of tickets to the Liberty Mutual Music City kickoff game as Ole Miss takes on Ball at Nissan
what?
Stadium.
What hold the on, heck hold on, did hold
on,
he
hold on.
Say?
That was flag on the play. Try that again. False start.
Say it again. Say it again.
Louisville.
That's better. Well, what you
That's
said the
better.
First time.
It couldn't have been worse. It's still not good.
I just said, lol. That's all I said.
If we're bounding things by law on that earth, I refuse to give it to any Lowell fans. So.
Okay. That's fair is fair, Connor.
All right, Ole Miss fans, be listening in the 4 o'clock hour. So when
the poor Cardinal fans are like, come on, man. First of all, you can't get the school right. You can't say our school name right. And now you're telling me we can't win?
I think it's open
I'm
to everybody.
I'm going to stick up for the Cardinals. Yeah.
Okay. You can do that.
Don't do that. I'll take you off the air right now.
Okay. Yeah, he does control the mics back there, so I got to be nice.
One texter says, can't let the enemy in. Didn't y'all get fully checkerboarded by Big Brother? Go Cats.
Not in Nashville. Check the scoreboard, buddy.
One texter says, thank you, Willie. Keep him out. Anchor down. One person says, perfect, lol, works too. See? So I'm getting my point across. So that was Caleb Williams yesterday, of course, Chicago Bears starting quarterback. He was here as part of the joint practice with the Titans. The Bears and Titans will wrap up the preseason with a game tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. And I heard that clip from Caleb Williams, and it went well with a story I read from Tyler Dunn of the Go Long Substack. He does a fabulous job, veteran NFL reporter. He made a pit stop at Titans camp this week. And there were a couple of things he reported in his piece that I found really interesting, and I want Derek's opinion specifically. So this is Tyler Dunn again at the Go Long Substack. Quote, one quote from one source inside the New York Giants building sticks out to me watching practice here. This person, very familiar with Brian Daboll's coaching style, was fascinated by the new union in Tennessee because, in his words, Cam Ward, quote, will bark back. Dunn continues, it didn't work out in New York for many reasons. The contrast in the personalities of Daboll and Daniel Jones ranks near the top of the list. These two were oil and water. So sure, Dunn writes, I get the early concern here in Nashville. This hasn't been a pretty summer for the offense in practice or the exhibition games. Their growing pains are real. But here's thinking the union has a shot to work because of the two personalities involved. No words will be minced. Transparency will reign, end quote. And Derek, I've always been fascinated by the interpersonal dynamics between a player and his coach. And if we learned anything from the new Vince Young documentary on Netflix, and Jeff Fisher, by the way, joined Chase and Big Joe, really good conversation. In case you missed it, go back and find it. If we learned anything from that documentary, it's that no young quarterback has a chance if he's not in sync with his coaches. So share your experience with us on those interpersonal dynamics between a player and his coach. I know it's a little bit different between a quarterback and his offensive coordinator, but speak to your experience in that regard.
The only experience, I've had coaches that did it one way, whether it be Robert Lynch at Marfa High School, George Perlis when I first got to Michigan State, to Nick Saban, to Jeff Fisher, to Billick, and then ending with John in Baltimore. Those guys, all of those guys were confrontational guys. Those guys that John and I got along and still get along. He and I text back and forth throughout the year. One thing I knew about John is I can go at John and he will go at me even harder. And I loved it.
Is that right?
Yeah, I loved it. We would be walking off practice just talking trash to one another because I'm pissed off about something and he's just telling me what. But once we crossed that threshold, it was like we're fine. But like you said, we understood one another. Nick Saban was the same way. Nick is confrontational, but as long as you do what you're supposed to do, he's cool with it. Some people can't handle that hard coaching. My coach, Robert Lynch, he didn't care. He was one of those old school coaches. So when I first started playing football in high school, I had that hard coaching, that combative coaching. So that's what I was used to. Not that I couldn't deal with the other type, but that's what I was used to. And every time they pulled out the best in me, each one of those coaches. So when you have Cam and Daboll, coaches' jobs – you have 53 men on your team, or it's probably more now. But you have to have essentially 53 different coaching styles.
See, I was going to ask you about that. I think that's a really fascinating question to ask coaches because I don't know if all coaches are wired that way. I think a lot of coaches coach their way.
I think the good ones, they know.
Can adjust to the personality of each individual.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because once you set your roster, and this is your family now.
Yeah.
Throughout the season, you have to find a way to coach the. And coaches talk about this all the time. We got to coach the first stringer to the 53rd player. We got to know how to coach each and every one of them. So there's a wide spectrum in between 1 and 53. So not only do I have to know how to coach these individuals, I got to know how to cut them. It's not always going to be perfect, but once you get to know an individual, you know how to push their buttons. And they may look at it as, oh, he's getting on me. No, he's just trying to push that button to get out of you what he believes you have in you.
And
that's all a coach tried to do.
And I wonder, Willie, if Daboll has – well, it certainly sounds like he can be combative and in your face. And from what we witnessed under the previous coaching staff, I can't imagine Brian Callahan and his offensive coaches were that way with Cam Ward. So I wonder if a different approach for Cam specifically could help bring more out of him.
It's a great question, and we're going to find out soon enough. I just think it's maybe not as easy as it sounds.
No, it's not.
To push the right buttons without others on a team, especially a football team where there's so many more guys. Mm-hmm. Like for me in basketball, you know, I had to adjust to every coach I had's style. But what you don't want is for the whole team to sit there and go, you know what? Mm-hmm. He's always easy on Derek. Mm-hmm. He lets Derek get away. Derek does all these things, and he doesn't get on him. Adam, as soon as he falls out of line, he's all over Adam. He's making Adam run. You know, so you don't want to do that because the coach can say, well, I got to coach Adam different than I got to coach Derek. But others are going to be, well, wait a minute, that's not always fair, right?
But
so it's balance.
It's – I am going to be fair, but I got to coach it different. I'm going to be fair with everybody, but that's how I approach you is different. But I'm going to be fair because I know how I have to approach each and every player, you know, whether it be to coach them on the field, to help coach them off the field, to things maybe happening in their family lives. So you got to be able to come at each individual a different way, because if you came at everybody the same way, it wouldn't work. You have half the team ready to, you know, chop your head off, and the other half don't know what they're doing.
But there has to be a certain amount of consistency. To a point.
Yeah, the consistency is we have rules, and I am going to be fair within those rules.
Yeah.
But I also know that I have to coach differently at times to certain individuals. And what I mean coaching is not, oh, I'm going to let him get away with that, but I'm not going to let you get away with that. It's how I present the information and how am I going to get on you. I may not have to yell at Adam. I just may – like my son. I got to come at him a little bit different than I do my daughter. My daughter, I just say one thing, the slightest thing, she just like, oh, she would melt. Like, oh, Dad. But if I come at my son like that, he's looking at me like, what? Like, I got to come at him a little bit harder. You know, and that's how it is on the football field. Some guys, you got to be directing in their face. And some guys don't operate that well. You have to come at them a different way. But you're being fair to everybody in how you approach them.
What one documentary, Adam, I saw recently that had this dynamic was when John Elway went to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. He and Dan Reeves never got along from day one. And it was – they went to Super Bowls, and they never got along. And eventually Elway won the power struggle. And it documents that in the – it's a Netflix thing on Elway. It's a really interesting thing to follow to go along the lines of sometimes when – the two high-end personalities butt heads. Hopefully this will work well with Ward and Daboll in particular.
615-737-1025. The Titans wrap up the preseason tomorrow at Nissan Stadium against the Chicago Bears. 615-737-1025. A reminder, we are celebrating our 15th birthday here at T-Line in West Nashville. Our grand prize, only eligible to people who show up at T-Line 106 Duluth Avenue, right inside the door, you can find an entry form to win Predators season tickets, a pair of season tickets.
Listen up, Smashville.
In section 102. You do not have to be present to win, but you must come here and sign up in person to register for the opportunity to win. 615-737-1025. Quickly, I do want to give a shout-out to many of the sponsors of our birthday celebration: Pickers Vodka, Tennessee Men's Clinic, Parman Tractor and Equipment, The Wine Cellar in Hendersonville, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, TJ Anderson Homes, Family Leisure, Houston Clinic Orthopedics, and Bob's Steak and Chop House. So many more. We'll make sure to mention all of them throughout the program. We really appreciate everybody who made this possible. 615-737-1025. Catch the Metro High School football game of the week every Friday at 7 p.m. here on 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Tonight's game, Antioch against East Nashville. Before and after the game, Big Joe Dubin and our very own Connor Newt will have complete high school football coverage with the Game Blitz powered by Southeast Financial Credit Union.
Just because you made the... said that his advice to you going into year two would be to trust your coordinator, working with a new coordinator. For you, like, at what point did it get to where, okay, I fully trust Brian Daboll, and what was it that made you have that trust?
I trust him as soon as we hired him. You know, I had a great relationship, like I said, with him throughout the pre-draft process. But I could trust him from day one because he immediately took my my knowledge of the game, of what I like to run, what I was comfortable with running, and he immediately implemented in the offense. And so that showed me right there that he's willing to at least listen to me. At the end of the day, he has a lot of stuff that goes through his head when he's calling plays. It's stuff that he has to protect. It's stuff when he can let loose and call whatever he wants. But he knows that, you know, who he has as a quarterback. He knows that I trust him and he trusts me.
That was Cam Ward on Brian Daboll. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at T-Line as we celebrate 15 years on the air in Nashville, Tennessee. One texter says, on our previous conversation about the dynamic between Daboll and Ward, and the reason we bring this up is because Tyler Dunn, veteran NFL reporter, he has the Go Long Substack again. Highly recommend it. He visited Nashville on a training camp tour. And he said that he, in talking to people around both Daboll and Ward, he thinks that their union will be fruitful because their personalities mesh. They both are in your face. They both want to hear the truth. They both don't want anything sugarcoated. One texter says, that is the same with any business. As a manager, if you want to be able to retain staff, you coach everyone differently. That's how the majority of my team has been with me over a decade, and I manage a restaurant.
Yeah, you just have to be fair to individuals, and players are no different. If players feel you are being fair with them, then they can accept the because it ultimately it boils down to, if I'm coaching you hard, it's constructive criticism. It's nothing personal. It's about the team, and I just want us all to be better. It's not like I'm trying to single you out each and every time. Now, if you keep messing up, eventually you're going to have to go to the bench and you're not going to be playing any longer. But when you're coaching individuals, you have to feel as grown men that and some can't do it. I thought that Fish and Mac had a really good relationship. I thought that those two guys, you know, if there it was a problem, didn't nobody know it. You know, I thought Jeff had Steve's back at all times, and I thought that Steve had Jeff's and organization's back at all times. And I saw and through it all, because when Cam brought up the play, you know, he likes what I, you know, he's going to listen to me. Again, that's what players want you to do. Listen to me, implement some of the stuff. That's just like Steve McNair when Steve was developing as a young quarterback. There were a lot of people on the outside saying, you know, maybe he's not the guy, or maybe, you know, you need to bring in another guy. Jeff stuck with him. Jeff showed the faith in him that he was going to ultimately turn into the player they believe he would turn into, and he did. And that's all a player wants. And so, you know, that relationship between Cam and Daboll, if it's what Cam said it is, I think it's going to really show up during the hard points of the season. Because if that relationship isn't good and solid, when things start to get bad, you're going to see a lot of finger pointing, a lot of it.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Wendell. Wendell, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a 15-year shout-out. I think the biggest thing that has changed in Nashville sports in the past 15 years is Vanderbilt. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the late David Williams and Candace Story Lee for turning that program around on all fronts and giving us something we can be proud of.
Thank you, Wendell. I mean, hey, music I to Willie Donick's ears.
Well, it has been pretty remarkable to watch what's happened over there. And, yeah, it's a different mindset now. It's a different world that they play in. As we know, we talk about it every day now with the still changing atmosphere. And what are the rules? And are there going to be rules, more rules eventually? But a couple of years ago, I think people looked into the future and looked at NIL and paying players. And I think most of us, and I would include myself, were like, how is Vanderbilt going to make it happen in this atmosphere? It's only going to get tougher. But they have done a great job. And I would throw another name in there, Chancellor Dearmeyer. I think it starts at the top. His mentality and his ability to –
give them the resources that they need to say, you know what, we're a great school, and so let's be a great athletic program. Mm-hmm. And not all the chancellors have had that mindset, for sure, but he does, and that makes a big difference.
And as we announced earlier today, our partnership with Vanderbilt Athletics continues. Men's and women's basketball, football, and baseball, all here on 102.5 The Game. So we are very excited about that. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Chad Withrow will join us. We'll get more into the wild and wacky world of college football and more with our friend Chad Withrow. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. A reminder, we are at T-Line in West Nashville, 106 Duluth Avenue. We've got yet another ticket giveaway coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But if you want the grand prize, you need to show up here to T-Line. Again, 106 Duluth Avenue, West Nashville, right off of White Bridge Road. When you walk in, you'll see the entry forms, you'll see the fishbowl, the grand prize, a pair of Predators season tickets in section 102. You do not have to be present to win, but you have to stop by and sign up to have a chance to win those Predators season tickets. And we will unveil the winner near the end of this program. 615-737-1025. San Jose State takes on USC this Saturday at 2 p.m. for our college football game of the week here on 102.5 The Game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, home of 29 Degree Drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app at thegamenashville.com.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.